This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Located below the headwaters of the San Antonio River, the Brackenridge Park has been a gathering place for families since prehistoric times. There are artifacts that show that thousands of years ago, the park area was used by the native peoples. Today, it remains a popular spot used by people of all economic strata and diversity. But some worry that that could change under a proposed redesign for BRAC. Since the city announced the proposal, it's been met by suspicion by members of the community. What do you think about Brackenridge Park's redevelopment and design plan? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. This is a community conversation, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet us at @tprsource. Later, we're going to hear from the city about their vision. But first, we're joined by former city council member Maria Barriazobal, who is a leading voice opposed to many of the proposed changes, and she is questioning how the process has been put into place to come up with this plan. And Maria, hi, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you.
So let's talk about process. You're very critical of how this came to be, the proposal, and you saying that the community has been left out. But since you raised those issues, there have been, what, 6 public hearings held around the city of San Antonio, a lot more awareness of the proposal. So that's positive, right?
It's positive. What happens, David, is when the public, when the general public, particularly the users of the park, are not included at the beginning, and you bring them in when you already have a plan, that the very first page of the master plan indicates that it was derived through public meetings, sessions with park stakeholders, and observations by the planning team, and that the goals represent a consensus of the community. That makes us very nervous because we weren't there, we didn't know, and particularly the people who are the users of the park, families, most working-class families that are there in the afternoons on Sundays, they're there for the Easter picnic, they were not included. So when I found out, and this was on May 1st, that it had happened, I also learned that the memorandum of understanding for this master plan was voted on by the council in April of 2015, and 12 entities were hired, architects, engineers, and so on. They worked for a whole year. The memorandum of understanding called only for 2 meetings, and one was held at Tri Point in 2015, and another one was held at the Botanical Gardens July 26 of this year, and that was it. And there were not going to be any more. So somebody told me about it. So I started talking to friends, and none of them knew. And these are activists. These are people that are in the know of what's going on in the city. So that's when we contacted Councilman Trevino, and we're very thankful to him, who took the lead in making sure that there were hearings. So we had 6 hearings throughout the city. They were very well attended. It was a diverse, I think it was a representation of the demographics of our city who attended. And I'm using a conservative figure of 98% of people who did not like the changes. And the most controversial parts are the transportation and parking. The proposal is to build parking garages in the perimeter, to close some of the streets, and to have a tram that when you look at the map, it starts roughly on Josephine Street, goes down Broadway, and then takes a little loop inside the park to take you to the zoo. But we kept being told at the hearings that the park use will not change. But when people see this map and see that they're going to have to use a tram for their picnic, people wonder, you know, well, what's happening? They just don't want us there. So to me, that's the most harmful thing, I think, that happens when you leave people out. Then you leave them to think what's obvious to them, that they're not wanted there.
Well, the proposal looks at park usage today, and they found that so much of the park has been taken up through parking lots and roads. And they have said by establishing a tram-like system, they can return more of the park to natural green space and actually create more area for families to come in and enjoy.
Well, I think that's architects, the planning team, that's what their vision was. They didn't ask the public. Brackenridge Park, unlike most public parks, has a constituency. It has a tradition. It has people who have ownership of it. And for a statement like the one you just made, which is, you know, could be a good statement, where did it come from? Is it from the people? Did you ask them what they wanted? You know, how will they continue? How can you assure that they continue using it? You know, I heard the other night, I stayed up a long time because I heard the presentation by the architect that has been hired for the Alamo, architectural firm that did Independence Hall in the Supreme Court. And he was talking about the Alamo, that you really have to study that site, appreciate its history, and then you see how that impacts the other areas that surround it. Breckenridge Park, I think there's a vision for Broadway that has created the Duseum, that has created new apartments. That's a vision. So what they're trying to do is to fit Breckenridge Park into that vision of hiking and biking and so on. And admittedly, not all of it
To serve the people who are moving up and down Broadway?
Yes, yes.
That's just like what they're doing at Maverick Park.
What they're doing, it's gentrification, okay? And people don't like to use that word. I do. Because when you have a space that has been used by people for generations in a certain way, and then you improve it, you change it, you make it prettier, you make it better, and then that same group of people can't access it, you know, that's exclusion. And that's what we don't want in this city. You know, it's a time for us to work together, understand that we're a diverse community, and if we're improving public parks, you include all the voices at the beginning. Because when you don't, and people come when it's already been created, you have a plan that's flawed, you have a process that's flawed because it was not inclusive, and then it's very hard to go back and just start talking about details within the park and think we can fix it like that.
Well, there are other parks in San Antonio that recently opened up, Pearsall Park on the south side. It's a beautiful, huge park, lots of amenities, very nice. I mean, can people shift their traditional events to other parks? Or, I mean, does it have to be Breckenridge?
Oh, so we're removing people now, which is exactly what shouldn't happen. It's up to people. We improve it's the inner city. These are parks that have been there for generations. And Breckenridge Park is special. And I wish you had listened to the people who spoke. There was passion. There was anger.
I listened.
There was anger from people because they feel excluded and they feel that the people who need these parks the most, if that's what they choose, if that's what a lady... there was a woman who went to one of the hearings, the Guadalupe Theater. She said, she's a young woman. She says, I'm a single mom. I have several children. After work, I drive through the park so my children can see the park and the trees. And if I have $20, I will buy some chicken and we will have a picnic.
That's what we did.
That's what we did when we were little. We're not little anymore, David. We were little a long time ago, but there are a lot of people who have small children right now who don't have backyards, who don't have parks close to them. And if that's where they want to go, they should have the right to go, take their car inside, and choose their table. You can't look for a table when you're, you know, on Broadway.
Yeah, but you can get on the tram, and the tram can take you into
yes,
the park.
Yes, and you can pay.
But it's not pay. You don't pay for that.
How do you know?
I think that's what they told me last time.
That's what they told you last time? Well, nowhere does it say that. Who's going to pay for the tram? Who's going to pay for the services? Who's going to pay for the insurance? Who's going to pay? I have yet to see anything built in San Antonio that we're not going to pay. I would love for us not to pay. But one way or another, we'll have to pay for it. And for us to pay for something from the public coffers, there has to be public support. The public, for example, what it states in these papers reflecting the plan is that they were planning to have it in the 2017 bond issue. And at the meeting, if you watched the video, you heard Councilman Warwick at the very end of the meeting say, I don't think we can add it to the bond issue. We're not right. going to put something in there that's going to take everything else down.
Well, the funding, where the funding was going to come from has always been nebulous, and they've never
actually have said
that this was committed to the bond issue. But so questions about some of the amenities, will the baseball parks remain, softball diamonds, or will Will it be more difficult to use? I mean, all these are questions that you have raised, and the public is very concerned. And I appreciate you coming back on The Source and giving us an update. We're going to come back, go to a break, and we're going to bring in members of the City Council and the Park Foundation to talk about what their vision is and address your concerns.
And how they're going to respond to the hearings that they attended.
Maria Badia Zalbo, thank you, former San Antonio City Council member. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
All right. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back in 1 minute. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our conversation about the future of Brackenridge Park and a proposed plan for redesign. We're joined by Lynn Bobbitt, the executive director of the Brackenridge Park Conservancy. Xavier Urita, he is the director of Parks and Recreation for the City of San Antonio. And City Council member for District 1, Robert Trevino. And you're invited as well because you're a big part of this conversation. Call in 210-614-8980. 8980. Email questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And Councilman Trevino, let's start with you since you are our elected representative and you are going to be voting on what will happen here, a policymaker. Where are you on the proposed redevelopment?
Well, first, let me just start off by talking a little bit about how you started off this program, which was talking about process. You know, I want to thank former council member Maria Berusabal for contacting our office because she expressed some concerns along with other community members about the process. And so we felt that this was an important piece of city council fully understanding what direction we should be going with this process. When we understood that somehow this process was not something that was delivered throughout the entire community, that's when we proposed doing more outreach. And so we contacted Xavier Urrutia and Lynn Bobbitt. I work with other council members from District 7, District 5, 2, 8, and 4. And we had a plan. We had a plan to get some of these meetings out all over the city, not just in the immediate area.
Right. So y'all did respond to these concerns, and you had these meetings around the city of San Antonio.
Right. But the point of that is as Ms. Berriosabal has pointed out, is to create an opportunity for there to be some real engagement. I think from that, what you're getting is reactionary input. Now, there's an issue with that. When you go through a process and you're going to design or master plan something, reactionary input is not necessarily going to be the best kind of input. As she stated, there's already a plan. And so we want to make sure that people feel included, not just updated. And so we feel that this is going to be something that we want to talk about. In talking with other council members, this is coming to the Neighborhoods and Livability Committee August 15th. Now we're trying to adjust the time because some members of the public requested that our time be sometime after work hours. Typically, we meet around 2 in the afternoon, so we're trying to work that out. The issue is to include as much of the community in that meeting as well, and get the staff to communicate what the master plan is. But what I can say is, the voices were heard, and we do feel strongly about making sure that we have a master plan process that is inclusive. In fact, I will say I'll leave you with this quote that I heard at one of the meetings that I attended. I attended the first and the last meeting, and it was, when you want to do something fast, you do it alone. When you want to do something right, you do it together. And I think that's the right approach, and I think that's the direction that we're headed.
Okay, and we want to hear from all of our guests here, but also our callers. The phone lines are on fire, so let's get Brian on the conversation. Brian, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, David, thank you so much for having me. My question is about low-impact development and if it will be used in the park. And to highlight that, if your listeners don't know about it, the San Antonio River Authority is leading the state in low-impact development. And it's perfect on the San Antonio River. This green infrastructure can be highlighted in Brackenridge Park to show our community simple ways to slow, spread, and sink stormwater runoff into the landscape as free gravity-powered irrigation that's not coming from the Edwards Aquifer. So you can take floodwaters when nobody wants them in the river and use it as gravity-powered irrigation free.
Okay, Lynn Bobbitt, Executive Director of the Brackenridge Park Conservancy, do you want to address that?
There's been conversation among the planning team about, yes, using low-impact designs to deal with floodwater, wastewater. As you know, the water quality in the river there because of runoff from the zoo, runoff from the Hildebrand project.
And the golf course.
And the golf course has created a water quality issue. So, yes, it will be looked at. I'd like to say, too, as a representative of the Brackenridge Park Conservancy, that the city did foresee encroachment on the park. The city has grown around it over the years. And so I would like to say that I applaud the city council and the mayor for addressing this issue and authorizing work to move forward on an update of the 1979 plan. However, that is a city project. The planners have been hired by TCI and is being administered by the Parks and Recreation Department. And BPC has requested to be involved in the meetings, have had conversation. We, too, are a stakeholder, just as every other community individual is. I have been to every meeting. There are eight in total that have happened. And I agree with Councilman Trevino that has not been enough. But I have listened carefully to what people have said. And I, too, remember that everybody comes from a different background and has different responses to what they are seeing. And yes, there is concern about being restricted to access to the park, but that has never been the intention of the conservancies. And right. This is a park for everybody in the city, and we will continue to work to see that everybody feels included.
I watched the public hearings online. They were provided by NowCast, a great agency in San Antonio that provided that. One issue that came up over and over again that I watched, people were concerned about what's the future of the golf course. They said that contract will be looked at in a year's time, and whether or not their voices at that meeting were like, we want that land back for park use. Is that something that is on the table, Xavier?
I would say at this time it's not something we would recommend looking at. The contract is still a bit further out than some people were thinking. It's not in the next year. It is a historic golf course, so that course that is a critical element that has to be considered. And it supports a bigger municipal golf system. So while people think of Brackenridge, it is also probably the largest economically producing golf course that helps support the other golf courses that we have throughout the community. So it's not just Brackenridge isolated. It's really a bigger system of municipal golf courses we have.
Okay, well, that story needs to be told. Maybe we'll dig into that later. But Brian E. is on the line. Let's get him on the air. Brian E., welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just got two observations, actually. One is that we keep hearing that the park is for everybody, but Mrs. Berriozabal seems to suggest that it's just for a group of inner-city folks. And I have a problem with that. I wanted to go down and celebrate the Easter season with everyone else by camping out, but when I went down, I was continually told this spot was mine and this spot was mine and this spot was mine, and there were no spots left for anybody else. And I think that's a problem. I think the tram system might help solve that. And I think we need to have it available to all of us from San Antonio, not just the inner city folks.
All right.
I'd love to be able to go and mix.
Okay, Brian, thank you for that call.
My second observation is,
okay,
I think that Councilman Berriozabal has become a bit like Mrs. No since she's left office. She used to be very positive and forward, and I'm concerned that she's become the negative in most of these kinds of situations, and I wish that weren't the case because she's a wonderful person, and I believe she contributed a great deal.
All right, Brian, thank you for the call. So his point being that the park, especially on Easter and special occasions, people will set up a chair on a park bench and leave it there for a week saying this is claimed, and so it's very can be fragile at times. How do you deal with that, Lynn Bobbitt?
Well, of course, that's a Parks and Recreation issue.
Okay, so Xavier?
Sure. So, you know, there's a great tradition, you know, decades of tradition with Brackenridge Park. And so, you know, we look at really trying to intervene as little as possible because really there's like unspoken rules between all these families and people understand. So what we usually do is we monitor the facilities the week of. We usually lift that curfew the Thursday, which is usually Holy Thursday. That is the first night people can spend the night. So people are really good about following the rules, not trying to spend the night before. But people do stake out their spots usually that week of Holy Week. And then they spend the night and have their Easter celebration. So it is a long-standing tradition. And there's a lot of support that we do in the Parks Department to help make sure people are having a safe and fun time there. We bring extra resources. You know, we do education for recycling. There's a lot of things that we do that whole time that the families are there. So it's a great opportunity for us to connect with the people, too.
Got time to squeeze in one last caller with Cheryl. Cheryl, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. What I'm hearing from the councilman and pretty much everybody else is buzzwords that don't mean anything significant. I hear the councilman saying, well, we want everyone to feel included. We're going to reach out. We want engagement. But none of that means... Hello?
Okay. All right. We got your point. Sorry. And we're going to go on and get his reaction. So, Councilmember Trevino, not buzzwords. They want to know that you are actually listening at these public hearings and that these comments are going to be brought into bear to figure out what the future of the park is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's why we've gone through this great effort. You know, and I want to thank staff for responding quickly on this. Xavier Urrutia and Parks and Rec did respond quickly. So did Lynn Bobbitt and her group. but no, these are not buzzwords. This is work. And this is meaningful work that we try to do at the city by listening to the community, understanding what this is about. As was stated earlier, you know, when creating a planning process, you do have to understand where that community is, where that input comes from, and so you want to have arm the architects and designers with as much appropriate information as possible. And that's why we felt by reaching out with other council members. For example, our last meeting was deep on the south side in Councilman Saldana's district to go get that input way over there about Brackenridge Park. I attended that meeting. It was a very, very good meeting, a lot of emotion, as was stated earlier. And you know, that emotion is real. There's a real passion for this park. So if it sounds like buzzwords, you know, maybe it's because, I mean, I guess it does create a buzz.
Okay. All right. Lynn Bobbitt.
Yes. I'd like to say, even though Maria, who I have so much respect for, and I'm pleased to be here today with her, there are things that should be done and can be done in the park.
Okay. All right. We got to go to break. We're out of time. When we come back from the NPR news break, we're going to be talking about how to keep your trees alive in the summer heat. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.